Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the risen Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I want you to take note. When the disciples first heard the news of Jesus' resurrection, they did not cry out, Alleluia, or praise God. They didn't say to one another, just like Jesus promised, or even, I knew he'd come back. No, when the disciples first heard news of Jesus' resurrection, they responded with utter disbelief. Actually, it was worse than that. When the disciples first heard of Jesus' resurrection, they thought the people sharing that news were crazy. Let's set the scene for a moment. St. Luke tells us that a whole group of women rose at dawn to go out early and anoint the body of Jesus. It had been, of course, a devastating week, beginning with high hopes as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem to the cheers of the people, but mere days later ending in tragedy as he was arrested and tried, convicted and sentenced, and then crucified. These women loved Jesus and wanted to honor him one more time. And so, because they were faithful to the law that said no work should be done on the Sabbath, they rose very early the next day, Sunday, the first day of the week, and went to the tomb bearing spices especially prepared for just this sad and solemn occasion. But when they get there, the stone is rolled back and the body is gone. They are confused, uncertain about what this might mean, when all of a sudden two men in dazzling clothing appear, and their confusion turns to terror. The men, who they'll later identify as angels, asks them a question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And then continue, he is not here, he is risen. And remembering Jesus' words that all this would happen, they go and tell their closest friends, the disciples that Jesus had chosen. But when they tell them, the disciples don't believe. In fact, they think the women are a little crazy. Our translation of the Bible softens that a bit. The gospel you heard read a few moments ago said the disciples thought that the testimony of the women was an idle tale. But the Greek word that St. Luke chooses here is stronger, a lot stronger. It's a word that's pronounced leros, and it describes something that is foolish, ridiculous, or utter nonsense. It's actually the root of our word, delirious, which means that when the disciples first heard the news of Jesus' resurrection, they thought that the women telling them this news were out of their blooming minds, which I think is kind of interesting. Because if anyone is going to believe this news, it's surely going to be the disciples. I mean, they have accompanied Jesus across his ministry. They've heard him preaching and teaching. They've witnessed his miracles. No one knows him better. In fact, they'd even heard Jesus talk about his impending death and promise his resurrection. And yet, when it actually happens, they don't simply disbelieve the testimony of the women. They think it's crazy talk. But frankly, when you stop to think about it, who can blame them? I mean, it's one thing to hear Jesus talk about his death, it's another to witness it. And they did. Standing at a distance, as St. Luke tells us, the disciples had seen his hands and feet nailed to the cross. They'd seen him bow his head and breathe his last. They'd seen his dead body taken off of the cross and taken away to be buried. And with that body, when all their dreams, all their plans, all their hopes, they'd seen their Lord die. And so they knew this was the end of his story because they knew that the dead do not come back. And so, of course, they thought that what the women were telling them was absolute nonsense and completely crazy. And quite honestly, I think they were right. Now notice for a moment that I didn't say that the women's testimony wasn't true. Rather, I think that based on everything the disciples had ever seen or experienced, the news of Jesus' resurrection had to seem a little bit crazy. And I would argue precisely because it is beyond their experience and beyond ours, that same news of new life and resurrection has the capacity to transform us. When all is said and done, you see, I believe the testimony of these women, not because they're telling me something that I've seen or experienced before on my own, but rather because they testify to something new, a new reality that stretches beyond anything I've experienced before. I mean, look around for a moment, read the paper, scan the headlines. You won't find a whole lot of life out there, but instead mostly discord and disappointment and strife. Whether it's burning cathedrals or children being thrown over railings or violence breaking out near or far, pretty much wherever you look, what you see regularly is death in all different shapes and forms. And then here come these women talking about life, new life, life beyond death. It's news that seems just this close to being too good to be true, but also news, I think, that is so good it has to be true. And so there it is, the testimony of these women is both crazy and true. And it's not just what the women tell, it's the whole story St. Luke shares, the story we've been reading together since last December. Think about it. Luke begins his story with a couple way too old to have children who then give birth to John the Baptist. And then he moves on to Mary, an illiterate and unwed teenager who's told that she will bear the Son of God and Savior of the world. And then comes Jesus with stories about foolish shepherds and desperate parents and persistent widows. And he says that that's what God's like, foolish enough to run after lost sheep, desperate enough to welcome everyone home, and persistent enough to hang on to us until our hearts are broken, we are turned toward God through grace. Pretty much everything Jesus says and does, when you stop to think about it, is pretty much exactly what you would not expect the Lord of glory and King of the universe to do. And so, of course, this news sounds crazy. And maybe craziest of all is the confession that everything Jesus says and does is for us. Because at the heart of St. Luke's story and at the very core of Jesus' teaching is the confession that not simply is there a God that has created and sustains the vast cosmos, but that this God doesn't only know that you exist, but cares deeply about your ups and downs, your hopes and dreams, your successes and failures, cares enough to send God's Son into the world to die that we might live and to be raised again that we might live with hope. When push comes to shove, I think, if we find this story easy to believe, if we're too quick to cry out, "He is risen," that probably means we are not paying very close attention. But if we find the story of new life and resurrection a little hard to believe at times, or maybe I should say when we find the story of new life hard to believe at times, well, then now I think we are taking it seriously and find ourselves suddenly in very good company. Because here's the thing, no matter how strong your faith may feel just now amid the music and flowers and joy of Easter morning, the day will likely come when you wonder if any of this can be true, when you doubt whether you are worthy to be the center of God's attention and care, when you wonder how it can be that God is really with you and for you. Because life has gotten just hard enough to make this whole story sound a little crazy. When that moment comes, remember that the very first disciples felt exactly the way you do. But then remember also what those disciples learned from Jesus, that God is just foolish enough to love you more than anything, that God is just ridiculous enough to keep after you until you are safe and secure, wrapped up in God's love, that God is just crazy enough to stop at nothing until God has saved and redeemed you once and for all. Remember, that is, that when the disciples first heard about Jesus' resurrection, they thought the women telling them this news were crazy. And they were right. Crazy talk in order to share with us gospel truth. Thanks be to God, and blessed Easter. Amen.